All right, guys, here's the deal. Before I even start this today, what I want to do is I want to give out the Veterans Crisis Support Line. And the reason for that is if anything we say gets you in a position where you feel that you need help immediately, I want you to go ahead and call them because I am not a doctor. I am not a psychiatrist or a psychologist, and I will attempt to help you in the best ways that I can, but they're better at it than I am. So it's 1-800-273-8255. And if you call and you're a veteran, press the number 1, and they will get you immediately on the line with somebody who can help you. And that's it. So let's go ahead and start the program. 1-800-273-8255. Don't forget, 1-800-873-8255.
Your war is over now.
Hey, welcome back to Post Combat Normal. This is your host, Joe Morgan. I wanted to go ahead and introduce my guest today. My guest is John Preston. He is a Iraqi veteran and a Pacific recording artist. John Preston, what else would you like to say about yourself, brother? I know you've written some songs about your military experience. Go ahead and explain the rest of it to the folks out there in the world.
Hey, first of all, thanks for having me on, Joe. It's great to talk to you, man. I appreciate you getting me on the show. I'll give you a quick background. We'll go through the story as quick as possible and as painless as possible. But, first of all, just who I am and what I'm about. My mission has been from this whole new rebirth of my music is raising awareness for veteran suicide and raising, awareness for post-traumatic stress and hopefully, giving an opportunity to have people reach out to us and to try to find an outlet and try to find a way to move forward. So for me musically, first of all, I was in the Marine Corps. Myself and both my brothers and my father were all Marines. My father was a Vietnam vet, Purple Heart Award recipient. He went to combat and he went hard. So we all kind of grew up saying, man, we want to be like Dad, let's do this. Let's be Marines. So out of the three of us, I was the one that ventured in my father's footsteps and went to combat. So in 2004, I was in Iraq, ran a mission squad for H&S Company. It's kind of a weird thing because I was a comm guy, but I ended up an infantry squad leader my whole time over there. I'd worked with the line company. So they said, we need somebody that's going to, that knows infantry tactics, that can run this squad. Silly me raised my hand and, 120 combat missions later, here I am. So while we were over there, actually, it was funny because my music career and the Marine Corps kind of ran together. When you're in the Marine Corps and everybody that's listening that's a veteran knows, you're trying to think of anything that's not being there. So for me, my dream was to be this crazy rock star and, live that life. So I went after it. We were in Iraq. I had an old beater guitar with me. We had a moment. It was really for me, actually, my first moment realizing how good we were doing in Iraq. I got surrounded by a bunch of school kids while we were opening the school. They're all clapping and chanting and they're singing good, good America, good, good America. And I'm like, oh man, that's great. Like, I got to write that. Basically, write this song called Good Good America. A buddy of mine puts together a video then. I mean, and we're shooting on, at this point, it's practically vintage cameras from 04. Like 3 megapixels or something was the hot stuff back then. So we shoot this video and we clip in a bunch of pictures from the battalion and things that we were doing and video. And we go live with it. We put it on a website. At that point was johnpreston.us. And the side story to that, the reason we did it in the whole first place was my master guns walked by me playing the song. He's like, Preston, what is that? I'm like, I wrote it, Master Guns. I'm like standing at attention at this point. And he's like, I got a brother down in Atlanta and he's got a record label. So I want you to send that to him. And we're going, oh my God, dude, how do we make something to send recordings to somebody in Iraq. So we went for it there. We created this video that was just absolutely phenomenal. And well, for the time you watch it now, it's kind of like, and our lieutenant colonel gets it and he plays it for the battalion. And the next thing you know, I'm getting a knock on my door from the Los Angeles Times. And, he's saying, look, John, I want to write your story. I want to talk about you. And like I said, in my head, I had had this vision I was going to be a rock star anyway. So I'm like, yeah, dude, let's do it. So he tells my story. And overnight, johnpreston.us, from the release of the LA Times to the next day, actually shut down because it hit the newspaper circuit and hit every newspaper in the country. So here we were, 04, I'm still in Iraq. I'm actually still running missions at this point, and we have 500,000 views in a day on the website. And we're freaking out because now we have news media. And this is my buddy that made the video. You know, we're running this email account. We have news media and we have record labels and everybody's saying, we want to meet you. We want to know who you are. I'm like, I'm in Iraq. Yeah. You know,
I don't really have the ability to come to your show right now.
Like, come on out to this show, buddy. You'll enjoy it. But,
What city were you in at the time?
I was off of Al Asad Air Base, and we were running all over the place. We went on the full offensive at that time, all the way to Fallujah and back. We were all over the place. So at that point when this was happening, I was on Al Asad, but literally running out every day to either go with EOD as a security element or we went out a few times with Stay and were their security element. And then, go open schools, go bring money to the Iraqi military. We did a ton of
civil affairs cats.
Every day was different, which was actually good. But ultimately, I blow up. I'm coming back from Iraq. I threw away my reenlistment papers, and I signed a record label. Yeah, so this is 04. I went all over the country doing different media. I did all that. And I kind of, it fizzed out, you know, we ran out of our time slot. We didn't have an album out in time, whatever, you know, whatever the reason was, it didn't happen then. And, so basically I had put down music. I think I played one more time in 2007 with the band. We did all right. We got nominated for LA Music Awards. We did all kinds of cool stuff then too. But then I was like, okay, I'm done. I need a career. I need a life because this isn't paying the bills. Ended up going to school, becoming a firefighter. It's been my job for the last 5 years, but about 2 years ago, I got injured at work, blew my shoulder out, and they're like, hey, you're gonna be out for 8 months. I said, shit, 8 months. What am I going to do for 8 months? So ultimately, I called up everyone that I knew from the record industry back in 2004. I called the label that I'd signed with. I called my friends that were helping promote me, and I called my two Marine brothers that I played guitar for me, and it all just came together. The guy that ran the label I used to be in is now the CEO of Pacific Records. He says to me, John, you started my career. I'll sign you tomorrow. So I'm it. I came in with a lot of demands, and for someone that hadn't played music in 8 years, that's hard to do because they're like, who are you? You don't even have a Facebook account. You know, you haven't played a show in 8 years. Yeah, why are you telling me you're going to do this? But I immediately came in and said I wanted my first EP to be a veteran-related EP, and I wanted to give money from it to charity, and I want to start this campaign to fight post-traumatic stress. Dealing with it myself, you know, having my own problems internally, it was something that I felt like it had to be done. You know, I knew at that point that was my mission. I was dealing with my really good friend that is hooked on methamphetamines, lost his family, has his child taken away from him, in and out of prison. And I couldn't help him specifically, so I was hoping with my music we'd get an opportunity to help someone else. You know, the further you dig into it, the more you learned about veteran suicide and everything else that's going on. And now my brain's just spinning going, Jesus, I'm not doing enough, you know? So it just built my work drive, and I'm working harder and I'm working harder and I'm working harder. By a year ago, you know, not even, we've released two EPs now. I've done TV all over the country. I've gone on national television, talked about veteran suicide. We've done multiple different local channels all up and down the coast of California and back on the East Coast. And we've built ourselves, you know, a place where, you know, it's a good place now. So, you know, that's where we're at. There's obviously more of the story that we'll dig into, but that's your brief overview of the past 12 years of my life. So I'm glad I got it out in 8 minutes or whatever it took.
Oh, hey, no, again, I always tell people there's no rush in the world, man. They're done shooting at us. So, you know, there's just no hurry left in my body, man. Things happen at their own pace now, and there ain't no rush for it. I'd rather get the full story out. My thought process here is, first off, I wanted to thank you because, again, I love it when I hear one of our brothers is trying to help our other brothers out. There's just nothing that I think is a higher calling right now with the, you know, with the 22 a day that we're losing, with all the things going on with these kids who aren't getting the help they need, whether it's through the VA or whatever. Again, I want to say thank you. I think that's amazing.
Now, yeah, absolutely.
Now, on that, I actually I listened to all your songs today, and I'm going to actually play Good, Good America right now. I decided that that's probably the one that I wanted to play since you just gave that beautiful story about it. I kind of had a different one in my mind, but I'll go ahead and play that one.
Right on. Sounds good.
It was good.
Okay, so you told us a little bit about the story of that song. Go ahead and explain it all to me. You were fixing up a school, and the kids started chanting, and what's the rest of the song? How did it go?
So, I mean, the concept of the song is very different than what it was inspired by. My inspiration came from the kids in Iraq. That's the reason I was fighting, you know, because I saw this world of people that wanted to have what we have, you know, mm-hmm. They wanted that freedom and that education and that Western style of life. So, and then you looked at mom and dad that were standing on the street corner just mean mugging the crap out of you because they didn't want you there.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, there was a battle of East and West going on, you know, and that's what the song was written about. You know, it's from each view. It's good, good America. It's die, die America. It's the war that we were fighting, you know, and it was amazing to see those children be the way they are. It kills me to know that probably a large percent of those kids that were boys at that time, you know, 2004, were probably shot in the back by ISIS as they crossed through the country, and drives me crazy because those are military age men now.
I've told a lot of people.
Probably not there anymore. Yeah.
I've told a lot of people how hard I wept the day that specific cities fell because I knew the kids there. I knew the people there. You know, when you've actually patrolled the streets and their names and they're not just, you know, they're not just some statistic on CNN, you know what those kids look like because you opened their school. And it really is a different level of care when you know who you're talking about. I can still see some. I mean, I have pictures of these kids. I know who they are. And know, like you said, that 0405, well, hey, those kids are military age males now. They're either on the other team or they're, you know, probably not in a good place. So I'll leave it at that because I don't want to get too deep into it. But yeah, it's I mean, it'll make a guy throw up. It's horrible, and it can't help our PTSD. One of the things I'll talk about a lot with everyone, and I like to do this off air more than I really like to do it on air, but is to discuss the difference between the micro and the macro. And on a micro level, mm-hmm. what we did was beautiful. It was beautiful to see a young 19-year-old corporal helping to open a school and talk with the kids and give out candy. My aunt, for example, sent box after box after box of toys and candies and just all sorts of things to hand out and make the kids happy. And then on the that's on the micro level. What we're doing is beautiful. We're trying to help these people on an individual basis. We're trying to do these things. You know, we opened up the voting forum there in early 05, all that stuff. Then on the macro, how easily we screwed it up with the government side. And again, I don't want to get into it really, but it's a conversation I like to have off the air where, you know, when people say they don't support the war, when they, you know, even if people do, but either way, there's such a huge difference between what our level saw and what the higher ups in Washington saw or what the people at
home
saw.
If they had any idea of the war we were really fighting and how positive it was to be there, the people that don't support the war may have a different view of it. And yeah, that's what my run in 04 was mm-hmm. trying to let people know, hey, look, this song was inspired by us opening a school. You know, this isn't, you know, the concept of war that you have in your brain.
Yeah.
This isn't the vision of what you think it is. This is, you know, American people doing something positive for a impoverished nation, you know, and that's really what it was.
On my own, I got to also be a part of a few security details for the civil affairs. And when we would go out into Fallujah, it was, like you said, you're opening hospitals, you're opening schools. And to know that most of those are probably closed now, most of those are probably – I mean, again, it's very disheartening. And I'll say that it has added a lot to some of my therapy groups when I've sat in there and I've talked about, you know, the day that certain areas fell and how it made me feel to know that, hey, we had worked really hard to get those kids to that school, to get those little girls to that school, and to know that, you know, as a country, we let them down. Again, I'm not going to get political, but it hurt my soul. It really hurt my soul to know that the good that we had done was wasted because of politics, because of whatever the reason was. I don't even know. Whatever the higher up reason was. But the beautiful side of it is on that day when you did open it, you know, I have a video of me and some of the little Iraqi kids dancing around to some, I don't even remember what we had on my iPod, some crap, you know, some silly techno, who knows what it was. And you know, because one of the kids had loaned me their iPod and we were listening to it and we were dancing underneath some water tower somewhere. And it's like those memories are so amazing because you know that if we just had one generation of being over there, those kids wanted to be like us. They wanted everything we had. You know, they wanted to be just like us. They don't want to follow in the negative footsteps of the ISIS-style human beings. They don't want to follow in the Mujahideen style of being in Afghanistan. They want to be westernized. They want all the things that we have. They want this lifestyle. Now, again, I'm going down a road I didn't mean to go down, so I'll kind of back off here, and we'll get into the next portion of your life and how the music has kind of helped people. So you said you were donating some of it to charities. What charities have you been active with? How has it helped? Go ahead and give us a rundown of how else you've been involved.
Well, yeah, I've been super active for the last couple of years. Our album, actually, the first album went to Boot Campaign. And still today, if you go on iTunes and you buy the Awards Over EP, you're sending 30% of that goes directly to Boot Campaign. And we are sending to their division to fight post-traumatic stress. So from day one, from the moment I released my first album, that's where, our finances have been going, and that was my plan all along. I plan to do that with every album, no matter what. I will be given to a nonprofit or to someone in need. And my second EP, the Day to Night EP, Day to Night actually was written about Sergeant Charles Strong that was killed last year in Afghanistan. And really bad story there. He died on his last day in combat. He was with my friend's son when it happened. And he had an 8-month pregnant wife having their first child. We had the liberty of flying her out to be part of our video, actually playing herself in the video, which was unbelievable. So we decided that we were going to give 30% of the proceeds of that album are going to the Strong family. It's going to Sophie and Taylor Strong. That's that. I've done a lot of work for Warrior Canine Connection. I've raised several thousand dollars for them over the last few years, playing different shows and events for them. We've actually done some work for the VA down in LA. And then literally multiple charities. Some of them I can't even rattle off names right now. Our next campaign that we're running, which we're doing a national suicide campaign, and I'll get into why in a minute. But we've actually brought in a non-veteran charity as part of it just because of their national reach. The Project Semicolon, which is a phenomenal suicide awareness charity, and that's what they do. If you see someone with a semicolon on their wrist, and I personally have one on mine now, it's saying that they've either had someone in their family that committed suicide or they've been close to someone that took their own life. And so Project Semicolon, as well as the IAVA, and then we'll have a couple other different veteran charities that we're going to involve with this as well before we take off. To get to that, to kind of segue into that, because that's what this year is going to be about. In January, I actually lost my brother to suicide, and my older brother was a Marine Corps veteran. He was a cop for 20 years. His life together, man. At least we all thought he did, and four beautiful kids and an amazing life. And my goal is to let everyone out there know, and that's what we're doing with this campaign, is life isn't better without you. Life is not better without you. And that's the campaign we're going to be running, man. We're shooting a video to my song Before I'm Gone, which was my darkest moments. And we're going to interview a bunch of families that are victims of suicide that have lived through it. And every one of those families, I guarantee you, when I ask them, they're going to tell you that life is not better without you. And it's been a rocky road. This just happened a month ago for me, and it was, how do I move forward? How do I, make a positive out of this? Because literally, at one point in my life, my best friend and ultimately, someone that practically raised me, is 9 years older than me, taught me how to play baseball, taught me how to play football, taught me how to play basketball. Taught me how to talk to girls, how to walk right, how to talk right. This was a guy that brought me up in my awkward teenage years and someone that I always looked up to and revered for his confidence and for the way he handled his family and how great of a father he was. And here I am now looking back going, what did I miss? Yeah. And anyone that goes through this will understand, you're always going to say, what did I miss? And everybody in my family is saying that. And everyone in my family is trying to blame themselves, and it's not the right route. It is a sickness. I've been buried deep in it for 2 years, trying to figure it out. I've lived it for 12 years, you know, and the whole concept is we want to catch the people like my brother that never spoke about it, that never said they were going to take their own life, that never gave any indication or any warning. We want to catch them before it happens and let them know that life is not better without you, you know, period. So that's going to be the campaign we're pushing the national. You're going to see our albums on the front shelves in Target. You're going to hear us on the radio. It's getting ready to take off big for us. And it's unfortunate why it's happening, but you know, I hope to God that we have a chance to not only save that life, but to save the families around that life that have to go through what I'm going through right now.
I hate to hear what you went through. I mean, I do. It makes me sick because I lose my Marine brothers, and that sucks so bad that I can barely get up the next day. And to know that it's your actual brother, it has to be, you know, worse. And I obviously cannot imagine what you're going through, but I absolutely love you, brother, for the fact that you're making it a positive. I can't say enough how most people go into a shell and they hide and they cry, and to turn it into something where you could potentially save other people's lives is the most beautiful way that you could honor him. And I again, man, it, you know, it's kind of getting me teared up, and I'm not going to continue. But again, thank you. I can't say it enough. I mean, it's
hey, if you cry before I do on the radio, then.
Man, I've
you owe me a steak dinner for that one.
Yeah, I know, but I'm sure you've talked about it enough that it's you know, I don't want to say. I mean, hey, it's a month old. It might not even be real yet. I don't know your deal, but
yeah,
I know that.
No, it hurts, man. Yeah, I mean, it really hurts. I wrote a song today. I finally talked to him for the first time.
Yeah.
Because I hated him, man. I hated him for a couple weeks at least, and I had to first realize that it was a sickness and he didn't leave us, you know, that he was taken away from us. Well, and that was a wreck, but I wrote a really good song, so that'll be on our new album as well.
I tell Marines all the time, and I use it in my own life all the time, there's a song called God Bless This Broken Road, and people use it in the context of the song as like how I found love, but in my world I think of it as how we got where we are. And sometimes the road is rocky and it's crappy and it sucks, but man, when it ends you in the right place and it ends you saving thousands of lives, you know, hell, I hate to say it, but you're like, man, God bless this broken road. You know, I'm glad I got where I am, because the position that you're about to be in where you can help all these people, it's beautiful. And it just sucks that you had to go through war and losing your brother and all these things to get there. It's a horrible road to take to get where you're at, but I'm thankful that you're at that point at least. So.
Yeah, we're gonna be front and center, man. I got the phone call today, so we can go ahead and talk about it. It's the first time I've talked about it publicly, I think. But we'll be by the end of May. We're shooting a TV show, so myself and a few other veterans, Nick from Raider Project's going to be involved. I think we might even get stop-ins from the famous Fruity Rudy of the First Marines, Rudy Reyes. we're going to be highlighting our lives, and then what it sounds like, basically, we're going to all be going out and hanging out and having a good time and just, you know, talking about our problems and talking about what we're dealing with. But at the same time, again, highlighting each of our lives, because we all have different different lives right now that are all pretty interesting and all, you know, very unique as to how we've handled our post-traumatic stress and where we are in life right now. So I'm excited. It will be picked up by a network. It'll probably take a couple months, but by the end of the year, we're going to be on your television right in front of you. So I'm really excited about that. Like, it's hard to sound excited right now because of everything I'm going through and everything I just talked about, but I really am, and I'm pretty stoked to be doing this.
I'm expecting that you'll call me back then so I can talk to all three of you at the same time.
if you get the three of us in one spot at one time, I'm sure, yeah.
Hey, it'll be like an ADD squirrel trying to have a conversation. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
okay, moving forward, we've talked about your brother, we've talked about your songs. You've even talked about what you're going to be doing soon. So I guess the next thing I can ask is, what else do you have coming up? Are you doing another EP right now? What else is happening?
So the plan, actually, we're going to be doing an LP. It looks like because we're going to go national and we're going to do a full big release, which will run distribution. We'll be sitting on the front shelves at Target and Best Buy and whatnot. So because of that, we're going to go into a better studio and we're going to cut a whole LP. So we're looking at, hopefully for me, I'm trying to get it done at the end of March, because I'm shooting for one specific date for Project Semicolon, and then I want to release by Memorial Day in May. So the new LP will be some of the songs off the old EPs, obviously in a better recording studio with, you know, multiple producers. I believe one of the producers we're going to work with has won a few Grammys. So we're going to make it more of an aesthetic feel, because both EPs, if you listen to them separately, they both have their own attitude and they're both geared to be one album. But if you put the two together, it wouldn't be one album. It would sound kind of funny. Yeah. So it's like listening to Matchbox 20's first album and then their third album. They just don't fit. You know? Yeah. Pretty much we're going in and we're putting 10 songs or 12 songs maybe. I have a book of hundreds of songs, so we could pull out of pockets all day long. It will be, there'll be a lot of veteran songs on it. There'll be a couple of suicide-related songs on it. But then there'll be, you know, a couple of regular just rock songs and regular pop songs or alternatives. So, you know, it's what we are. I don't just write veteran music. I kind of write what I feel like on that day. I don't sit down to write. I don't say, you know what, I need to write songs today. Yeah, when it comes, it comes. And when it comes out, it is what it is. And that's kind of been my writing style since I can remember. So, if it takes me longer than 25 minutes to write a song, I don't write that song. I put it away. I'm done. So kind of a weird.
No, I mean, that's true emotion method, though. That means that your songs actually have your real emotions in them, as opposed to, you know, just forcing some bubblegum pop hit out, which is, you know, what half of the people that you hear, it's bubblegum. I don't want to hear it. I want to hear your actual, you know, your heartbeat. And that's why these songs are powerful.
Yeah. You know, I wish I would have turned the camera on today when I wrote the song I wrote today, because it was pretty interesting, man. I hit a certain few lines. I'm sitting down on my piano and I'm just playing and singing. I don't necessarily write. I hit a voice note and record it, and then I kind of go back and write stuff down. And I'm sitting there and I'm playing, and I started breaking down, and I'm like up pacing around my house. I'm looking at my brother's picture, cussing at him and freaking out. And like, I mean, I really would have wished I turned the camera on for that, because it was a show. But it's kind of, you know, that's what it's like. And if it's not that emotional when I do it, I remember when I finished Day to Night, and I knew Charles, I didn't know him personally, but I knew of him and I knew his story the day it happened. When I finished his song, when I played it back on my voice note for the first time that I completed it, I completely broke down in tears. So yeah, it's a vulnerable thing that artists have. Maybe it's why I'm able to have a release valve for my post-traumatic stress. Definitely. Yeah. It's all or nothing when you're writing a song, and I usually don't come back to one. Even if I had a really good hook and I can't finish it, I never come back to it, you know, and I'll write something maybe close to it later on.
I don't know if some of the caregivers and some of the wives and family, whoever's listening that isn't the military veteran, but if you couldn't understand how simple he just said that, I don't know what to tell you, because when you put your whole soul into it, one of the things that he said was vulnerable, and vulnerable is the key to healing PTSD more than almost anything, because pride kills more military members with PTSD than I think anything else, because we're afraid to ask for help. We're afraid to show our true feelings. And when you can get that stuff out of your body, when you can let it go, whether it's on paper, whether it's with a guitar, whether it's to a friend, whether it's any way that you can get rid of it, pray it to God, however you get it out of your soul, it doesn't matter. But when you can let it free, man, that's as healing as you can get. Just because at least you're getting it out. At least you're letting it. And the fact that you, on your own end there, John, you're actually letting the world hear it. So not only, I mean, you're communalizing your grief in a way that most people don't even have an option to do. And yeah. And I mean, I think that's beautiful, again, because not only are you communalizing your grief and making yourself, you know, able to be vulnerable, able to be shown on the world, but you can also help others doing it. And again, you know, I think that's amazing. So last couple questions for you. I'm going to go down the Project Semicolon list here. I just wanted to read it because I really want to get their message out. And so I'm just going to read it flat and then see if you have anything to add at the end. So the vision of Project Semicolon, what they say, and they have the whole list of things here. So the vision is that together we can achieve lower suicide rates in the U.S. and around the world. That together we can start a conversation about suicide mental illness and addiction that can't be stopped. We envision love and hope, and we declare that hope is alive. We envision a society that openly addresses the struggle with mental illness, suicide, and addiction. We envision a conversation embraced by churches and addressed with love. We envision a society that sees their value and embraces it. We envision a community that comes together and stands together in support of one another. We envision a world where an escape is not found within drugs or alcohol. And on a side note, for those of you who don't know, I want to say the last number I read was 93% of PTSD sufferers also have either an addiction to drugs or alcohol. That number changes through different VA studies, but it's somewhere in the 90s, so I'll continue. Their next line is, we envision a world where self-destruction is no longer an escape to be used. We envision a revolution of love and declare that our stories are not over yet. And that's written by Amy, and that's their founder and president. So, John, do you have anything to add to that that you'd like set out as kind of your last words on this program?
Well, you know, Annie said it right there, and I talked to her today. She's a wonderful person. The community concept, man, and it's what we are, and it's what we need to be stronger at. You know, and you do see veterans stepping up all over the country right now, and you see us stepping up for each other because the VA is not handling what we need to be handled. But that concept of being there for each other needs to be real. And, you know, I didn't realize how much my Marines loved me until I was at my brother's funeral and I was surrounded by Marines that I served with. And it's one of those things that we need to be able to do that every day, not when someone loses a brother or not when something like that happens, but pick up a phone, man. Call your brothers up. You may think they're doing fine and they may not be. You know, call them up. Just say what's up. We are a community. We are the strongest, you know, most fighting, ass-kicking community in the country. We are it. And we have to be there for each other. Because if we're not, that number stays the same or that number grows. And I'm pretty sure when they do recount the numbers this year, it's going to grow anyways. So that's it, man. You know, and just one last thing for me, I wouldn't tell everybody go play music. It makes you feel good. You know, we were talking about me having a release out by artistically exploding, but that's not for everyone. it can be more frustrating to try to learn an instrument than, you know, find what you love. If you like being out in the woods, man, go out and hike, you know. If you like shooting guns, go out and shoot guns. If you like lifting weights, go out and lift weights. You know, find what you love. Set a mission. Set a goal. That's what we do, man. We freaking accomplish missions. That's who we are as a United States veteran, as a Marine, as a soldier, whatever you are. That's what you are. You get a mission. We hurry up, we wait. We hurry up, we wait. We hurry up, we wait. But then we accomplish the mission, and we create a new mission, and we go after that mission. And that's it. And if your mission's taking care of the rest of your brothers and sisters out there that are fighting with the same thing that you are, be the strong one and step up. You know, take your ass off the couch, your mind off the drugs, your mind off of whatever, and move forward because we can do that together. And I'm here. You know, jump on my back. I'll carry you. Let's go. Hit me up on Facebook. Send me a message. You know, listen to my music on iTunes if you want to hear it before you talk to me. That's fine. Whatever. But let's talk. I'm here. I'm always here.
Well, that was a beautiful ending to this. And again, I wanted to thank you for being on. I want to thank you for everything you're doing. And yeah, I think that's the end of today's program. I have one last thing to add. Today is February 17th in 2007 in Alkheim. We lost a good friend of mine named Brian. I don't want to give out his full details on the air, but Brian, this show is dedicated to you, brother. So have a good one. And again, good to talk to you, John. All right, boys and girls. I'll talk to you guys next time.